بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. Firstly, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa salam. Shariat is very simple and easy. It's easy to understand and more easy to practice upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down Anbiya alayhi salam, 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. And we know there are Nabis and Rasuls. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He had Sahaba Ikram companions. A Sahabi, generally you will get a definition of a Sahabi, that person who saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Technically speaking, that's not a complete definition. The complete definition will be that person, male or female, who with Iman, that means in the state of Iman, sat in the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and passed away in the state of Iman. Because if you put a condition that of sight, then what about the Sahabi who did not see him and was blind? And what about those females who did not see him but sat in his company? Now, a Sahabi is, as I explained, Jummah time and Jannati. And the status of a Sahabi, the lowest Sahabi, lowest companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is higher in status than the best of saints, than the best of walis. Hypothetically speaking, then if you have to classify any person as a saint and you say he's a great saint, then that person comes nowhere near the status of a low Sahabi. The reason being very simple, because the Sahabi is a fortunate person who sat in the Mubarak company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Shariat and Tariqat, Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi writes, and he quotes from Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, that this you'll find in the initial pages of that book, that a person who sat in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, then because of the contact with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person's spirituality boosted. And boosted immediately past vilayat. That what we generally term as vilayat. That he just boosted and that person became a saint by the simple virtue of sitting near Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also condition has to be that that person passed away in the state of Iman, because there were few who were with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They accepted Islam, sat in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but died not in the state of Iman. So Iman is a precondition of sitting in his company, and also another condition is in his lifetime. Otherwise, every person who dreams about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be classified Sahabi. That is not the case. Because the person has to be in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that time has gone by. Then we have what we call sainthood or wilayat. For the sake of understanding, that vilayat or wali or sainthood will divide into two categories. Vilayat-e-amma and vilayat-e-khasa. Vilayat-e-amma, general. And vilayat-e-khasa, special. Basically, a wali, it means a friend. So, waliullah means a friend of Allah Ta'ala. And every Muslim is a wali of Allah. Every Muslim. Whether that Muslim is pious or not pious, whether that Muslim is sinful or transgressive, but because he has accepted Islam, he is wali of Allah. General. Why? Because how fortunate is a person on the surface of the earth that he is blessed with Iman and Islam. If you look at our around us, we only, for every six people walking on the surface of the earth, one person is a Muslim. So that means there are more non-Muslims on the surface of the earth than Muslims. How fortunate we are that we are one of those six pro rata walking on the surface of the earth that Allah has blessed with Iman. Now when we are blessed and we are so fortunate, that means Allah Ta'ala likes us. It is up to us now to go closer to Him and to gain His proximity and to gain His happiness and to gain His joy. Now as soon as a Muslim now he moves away from Vilayat-e-Amma and he starts getting closer to Allah, coming nearer Allah, he's becoming special to Allah. And when he comes nearer to Allah, then Alhamdulillah, he's becoming from the Vilayat-e-Khasa, from the special closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now generally you hear one statement that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, that you read about his biography, etc., they say he is the saint of saints. Our Aqeedah from the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat is very simple, that during his time, during his period, he was a saint of saints. Can there be anyone higher than him? Is all the possibility. But during his time, he was classified amongst the saints that this is the saint amongst saints. Just like, for example, in localities, countries, cities, you say that person is very wealthy, or that one is very pious, or that one is very disobedient. So you can make an assessment. But about sainthood, also remember that our belief is very simple, that a person can be a saint today, but a rotter, transgressor the next day. And also it can work the other way. A person can be a rotter today and a saint the next day. Historically, I can narrate for you incidents about this, both ways. Saint today, rotter the next day. Rotter one day, saint the next day. There are statements, there are stories enough like that written. But just as we have got the qualities of the Nabi to understand who is a Nabi, just as we got qualities of a Rasul to understand who is the Rasul, just as we have got qualities of the Sahaba to understand who the Sahaba are, we can have qualities of a sage. And lately I read one biography. The original title is Hayat al-Siddiq. It is actually life of Maulana Siddiq Bahanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. I was fortunate I stayed with him for 1 year for spiritual upliftment and reformation. So his biography was translated from Urdu to English, and in it he describes, which I read for the first time, the qualities of a saint are three. There are three qualities of a saint. So, after I mention it, maybe you can make out what level saint you are. Everybody is saint, isn't it? There is no shortage in our country of khalifs and saints. And jinnat also. Everybody got jinnat. In the house, himself, everybody. No business got jinnat. And if only South Africa jinnat's coming. See, he said that there are three qualities. One, first quality, that person is having some sort of ailment, some sort of sickness linked to him, attached to him. Now, if you study the lives of our pious predecessors, study the biographies and all that, you will come to realize that this is truth. That they have got some sort of ailment with them. Whether it be sugar diabetes, or whether it's hypertension, or whatever, but they've got something and something with them all the time. Comes and goes. And eventually the person succumbs to those things. Secondly, that person has got a steady halal income. Steady halal income. And thirdly, that person, because remember that inadvertently, if you are a person doing daily activity, then inadvertently people are going to criticize you and speak ill about you. Because you cannot please everybody all the time. You have to make a decision sometime in your life whether I am going to please Allah Ta'ala or whether I am going to please the makhluk. So this third quality is that during his lifetime and after his demise, people speak ill about him and abuse him and make allegations against him. He narrates, he enumerates these three things. And if you study the lives of the pious predecessors, you'll find these three things are there also. Next time when you read a book on the biography of some saint, then look at it from these three points. Point one, that person has got some sort of an ailment, sickness. Point two, that person has got a steady income, halal steady income. And thirdly, that because of his striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will generally speak ill about him in his lifetime and also after he passes away. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the special saints. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take work from us. So now, alhamdulillah, I see 15 minutes up, you can talk to me a little bit now.
Is service and handling charges jais?
Service and handling charges, provided it is stipulated. If it is stipulated that there are going to be service and handling charges, then it is permissible to charge those things. Basically, in business, understand one, two laws and principles. That the more transparent the business is, that means there is no hidden clauses, the more transparent the clauses are visible, the more permissible the transaction becomes. And if you have hidden cost and hidden things, then the transaction at times becomes permissible, but batil, meaning without barakat, without blessing, and at times it can have the option of being nullified. See?
What's the Shari law regarding not paying workers for overtime?
What is the Shari law for not paying workers for overtime? Workers, they must not go to work after that. Why are they working? That's a sin. That's a major sin for not paying them for working. Especially when there is a contract in place. If there is a contract in place, whether it be hourly or weekly or monthly. And when the hours are stipulated and if the person works more than that, then it is his right to be paid. And if you do not pay that person, then you come in under that hadith where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that pay the worker before the sweat does not dry on his forehead, brow. So if you are delaying even, forget of not paying overtime, if you are delaying even, you are sinful. And if you are not paying, then you are a major sinner. See, people only think that if you don't read namaz, you are a major sinner. Yes, definitely. But if you don't pay your worker also, then you become a sinner. See.
Can a person eat Easter buns?
Person can eat Easter buns. Is it permissible to eat Easter buns? You can eat it in summertime, springtime, anytime.
In today's time, after how many years the estate of a lost person can be divided?
Sharia commands, for example, a person, before he even sleeps, he must have a will. And he must not sleep without having a will. They say 3 days mustn't go by wherein a person must not have a will. And there are a lot of statements that we should have our checks and balances and our will in place. Now, sometimes what happens, we have these cases, person comes and says, Mufti Sahib, I have to talk to you, I've got some will problem. And when they come, they say, you know, great-grandfather, he died 35 years ago, no will was distributed, and then the fun starts. Like he left so many children, so many sons and daughters, and those were sons and daughters, and in the whole process that one died, and this one is living, and this one got divorced, and oh, this is really a chakkar. But nevertheless, you have to go backwards. As soon as you got all your documents in place, you start going backwards and start distributing properly. And evaluating it and distributing it. That is why we say, as soon as a person dies, check the will, freeze the assets, if you can possibly freeze the assets, or maximum evaluate the assets, start distributing. But if you've got documentation, no matter how far it is going back, distribute. There is no cut-off period. See?
Can a person pay bank charges with interest money?
A person cannot pay bank charges with interest money.
What's the masala regarding sitting on a chair and reading namaz? Today people, for small excuses, sit and read namaz on chairs.
Then they stand outside the masjid and talk for 15 minutes. They say, I'm mazur. Only in the masjid is mazur. Outside is okay, sit outside. Then you catch the mufti. Why go alone somewhere? Why go Jahannam alone? Take the mufti with him. Huh? What do you say? See, you must stand. If you are able to stand, you must stand as much as you can. I know there is one research out that if you want to sit, you sit all the time. But we are saying our research shows that because it is farz to stand in a farz salat, then you stand as much as you can stand. And then you sit down. And also, that those who are going to the haram a lot nowadays, I like those seating facilities in the haram, that your posterior is on the floor, and try to implement that one. Where those, so there are chairs, it's got a back and it's got on the floor, those camping chairs like. So you sit on the floor, so you don't have a chairman group in the masjid. So you put it on the floor, and the person now, he has to be really mazur to sit there. Otherwise, now it becomes very easy, comfortable, sit on the chair and sleep away. Before Jummah, a lot of people sleep away on the chair too. They don't make Jummah also. So you must stand as much as you can, and then you start making indication salat. Ji.
Is there any halal company to invest money?
Is there any halal
company?
Is there any halal company to invest money? I'm asking you all. Now you tell me, I'm not from this area. You know anybody want to take some money? I don't know anything around here. I'm not from the area. I don't give to Morala. I told Morala, give to Morala. Donate it to Morala or something. You see, I have an opinion, very simple state, right? This is my view. There is no such thing as Islamic banking in the country. Let me be very clear about this. Eh? There is no such thing. They're catching the ears the other way. You understand? Six is equal to half a dozen. Understand? Call interest, any other name is still interest. So that's my view. And also, these days, if you go in partnership and you invest money, the partners disappear. So make some himmat and do your own. And if you're going to go in partnership, sign and sign. Sign and re-sign. And also go to some alim. You've got enough ulama here, muftis here too, alhamdulillah. They can help you to draw some contracts down, some partnership contracts down, some clauses down. But I cannot, as a mufti, I know, don't worry, what's happening in the whole country, that say, go and invest here. Because every other person says, I'm Sharia compliant. This word Sharia compliant has become too cheap in our country. Every other person is saying, I'm Sharia compliant. As soon as you get certain people to side you, back you, then okay, I'm Sharia compliant. So you try to make your own syndicates and your own ventures. But I cannot tell you where to put your money. And also, if that thing goes at a loss, you'll hold me, you'll say, who's underwriting this thing?
The question is, what is goodwill and is it halal or haram?
Goodwill is generally when you're running a shop, simple, and then because that shop is making a lot of money, so you want to charge it now. When you sell your shop, when you are to charge, for example, you are to sell for 1 million, but because it's making a lot of money, so you sell at 1.5. Now that is haram. But in order to circumvent that, then you sell your fixtures and fittings. Or you sell on the basis of willing buyer, willing seller, and then increase your price. But you cannot say in your contract that I'm selling and I'm charging so much goodwill money. That is absolutely haram.
Please inform me if it is permissible to watch Islamic TV.
Firstly, you must understand something. That one of the nights I was on CII, there was some discussion of utilization of modern media for propagation of deen. So, those of you who listened to it, it was on a Friday night for 2 hours, and I mentioned something in the starting, that I've traveled to many countries, and up to today I cannot find one kosher Islamic Muslim TV channel. I said, show me, then I will see it and I'll tell you. But I went to so many countries that claim that they are Islamic and Muslim. But either Shiaism is coming out of there, Batil is coming out of there, Qadianism is coming out of there, Modernism is coming out of there, all the Khurafat is coming out of there, nonsense is coming out of there. So which one you want me to say is right? Let alone that, yes, there are some Muftis that say, okay, it is permissible with all the restrictions. But as a blanket rule, one cannot say that Islam channel, for example, that's coming down on your DSTV, one cannot say that Islam channel is permissible. So So it is definitely better to abstain. And deen of Islam has spread via contact. If you look in the history of Islam, then Islam spread not via media or force or sword or money or power. Islam spread via one-to-one contact. Yes.
Any questions from the floor? Are there any questions before we go on to the SMSs?
Is it Dr. Sabat? Yes. Yes. There'll be inheritance. Yes. Once a marriage can be proven, the child's progeny will be proven. Ji. Yeah. Or the change stores got this. Or the banks got it. Yeah. Alright. Okay, right. Membership charge. So what, you want to pay my membership, sir? Okay. Now, I thought you were to pay for my membership card or something. It's permissible to pay the charges. Especially if you're flying a lot, then you must take all your points nicely. Yeah? You must take your points before they steal it. Yeah. Voyager, if you're taking, be careful. The professionals, I think, take it away from you. See?
Question is, did any Sahaba celebrate Milad?
Before I answer that one, let me tell you something flashing in my mind, so let me tell it to you, right? One day I was in Richmond. Richmond, everybody, y'all are from this area, you know where Richmond is. So, one person, he stood up Q&A time. He says, Mufti Sahib, I'd like to ask you one question, but I'm telling you this got nothing to do with Masla Masai. I just want to test your knowledge. So I said, alright, okay, ask your question now, test my knowledge. So he says that who saw the splitting of the moon? So there are people all the time making dua for me, so I remember that person. So actually, there was one person, king in India. His name is Chakravarti Farmas. And when I was writing my book on Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when I was doing the research, that I came across that name. And he was in India, those observatories, you still see it in Delhi, etc., they are called Jantar Mantar, where they go up those stairways. And they go right on top, and from top they are able to see the stars. And he was on his Jantar Mantar. And from there he saw the moon split. And he sent his son. To go and investigate. Because they were able to work out which direction it is, everything. So he sent his son. And if you search now Google, then the first, the name of the Indian Sahabi is Perumal. And this is in Tamil Nadu somewhere, in Cochin area. And he, when Perumal came, pure Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted Islam because his father went, told him to investigate it, and came back, and on his way he passed away, and the way he passed away they built a masjid. So one of my friends was telling me, he was also saying, testing me, and I knew this. He said, you know, I want to take you there to that masjid. I also would like to go see this masjid the Sahabi built. The masjid is still there in the Cochin area. So no Sahabi celebrated the birth of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Laylat al-Nabi.
Are there any living Amir still around? If so, name them please.
Who?
Are there any living Amils still around?
Living Amils? Amils?
Amil.
Do you know what Amil? Amils are generally referred to the people who make Taweez, etc. Now, generally, the Muslim public, I remember clearly when I came back from Darul Diyobad having this title Mufti. They thought a Mufti runs behind Jinnats or something. Or he's doing all these Taoises and all that. Now, okay, Alhamdulillah, education, the people know what the Mufti does. Amils in certain areas in South Africa, like Indonesia, etc., every other street got Amils. And every second person is a corn artist. You understand? And these are professional, most of them are professional thugs. And it's a very lucrative business, by the way. Yeah? If you're out of a job, you try to do this job here. Yeah, you understand? A lot of money here, yeah, because our people are stupid people. Yeah. And ladies especially, they like you, Amil. If someone comes from India, say, I got a gift. Oh, there are a lot of you, sir. And they give so much money to these foolish steps. As I told you, what I told you, no shortage of jinnats in our country too. Every other person thinks, some curtain move in the house, he thinks jinnat in the house. He doesn't realize the window is open, the wind is blowing. And yes, who just said, I cannot tell you, listen, invest in a certain place. I cannot tell you, listen, go there, that person is a good Amil. Because he may just do something wrong, and we are all in trouble. And then you, instead of making dua for me, after Salat, you make one dua for me. So safer not to answer that question.
Should we make 40 days and 1 year after, for the dead?
See, all these 3 day, 10 day, 40 day, half year, 1 year. Now why we must do all that? Why we must peg it? When Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala did not peg it. So all these are innovations. Let's be very clear about it. These are innovations, we should abstain from it, and we should run far from it. We are having the opinion that as soon as the person passes away, then daily make dua for the person. Why peg it 3 days, 7 days, and 10 days, and 40 days? And if you go and study Hindu civilization and culture, and Hindu method, what you call their transmigration of souls, they believe in transmigration of souls, then you will find that they believe that after 3 days the soul goes into a certain position. After 7 days it goes into a certain position, then 10 days, then 40 days. So that is their belief which we have taken. And remember, whether we like it or not, I have to say this, that our great-great-grandfathers were ringing bells of the temples. So when we came into Islam, we brought some of those things and came. I'm not talking about us, our great-great-grandfathers. We have to be realistic about this. If you check where we came from, and we should then make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gave us Tawheed and Risalat. Allah Ta'ala gave us such a clean deen. Otherwise, honestly, we should be running behind certain things. Allah Ta'ala saved us. So that culture, that philosophy has come along and penetrated us. So those things are absolutely innovative, and we should not be participating, and we should not, when invited to those places, we should not be going near those places.
We heard about Baal Mubarak at Milad. Is this authentic? Is it bid'ah? Is it permissible to partake of meals at this type of function?
We just said all those things are innovations and you should not go near those things. As far as Baal Mubarak, the blessed hair of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then with what certainty can we say it is that? We've got no proof for it. We cannot say that that is a lie, and we cannot say that is truthful. And there is no test that we can say, okay, do this test. And then we can know that that hair is of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one scholar, he said, see, if you want to test that, then burn it. Logic is very simple. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never burn in hell or by fire, and no of his part can burn in fire. So if it is the hair of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it can never burn. No fire of this earth or anywhere can burn the hair of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should abstain. It leads to innovation, it opens the door of innovation, and then you have to go there and start eating. All the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they were taking the hair of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were giving him haircut, etc. None of them kept their hair and told the public to come and see it. None of them did all those actions.
I embraced Islam having come from a Catholic background. How far can I go with the funeral if immediate family passes away?
When you come to know someone who passed away, of your relatives, then you can phone and say words of condolence. Remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have been created by Allah. Use it as an opportunity to give da'wah to Tawheed and Risalat and simplicity of deen and simplicity of our burial systems. Because when you look at it, our burial systems are very simple, cheap, and if you look at any other burial system in our country, of any other religion, it is tedious, difficult, expensive. And plus they keep the body unduly for long periods. So there are so many disadvantages. So what we should be doing, now is the time to give the da'wah. If they require any financial assistance, you can give it. You should not attend the funeral services. You should not attend the funeral service ceremonies. You should not go to the house there and participate in their rites and rituals. You should not go to the temple or the church. You should not go to the graveyard.
I would like to know if it is permissible to eat Ojri tripe.
Ojri, you are eating Ojri, isn't it? So why do you want to know whether to eat that? If we translated Fatawa Rahimiya in volume 1, you'll find one question there. What can we eat, what we cannot eat? So Mufti Abdul Rahim Al-Ajpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he lists about 7 items. But I've seen in Fatawa Mahmudiya, Mufti Mahmud Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he puts another 2 additions to it. So you can check it up there, those what you cannot eat.
My husband gives me bare minimum of money and he wants me to do miracles. I am not a magician, but he opens his wallet to everyone else. What should I do?
Perform miracles. If he is not performing miracles, you perform miracles. Hazrat Hinda radiallahu ta'ala, when she accepted Islam, that she asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my husband, now who she is talking about? Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala. So my husband is very tight with money. Can I take without his permission? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you can take, for the necessities. So, first of all, talk to your husband, tell him, see, you know, we're performing miracles, and he should open the wallet, otherwise you would open the wallet. Then when you open the wallet, don't take everything. Leave some.
Can qaza namaz be read after every namaz?
If you were to read it after asr, don't do it in the masjid because people don't know the law. Go and do it at home. See. SMSs are now running dry. Anything else from the inshallah? Here you go. First of all, you make istighfar and toba. Two down. You make some charity on that person's behalf. That person's relatives, you help the relatives, father, mother, the sons, daughter, help them with the near that, Ya Allah, I have harmed their father or mother or whatever, Ya Allah Ta'ala, forgive me. So by helping them, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will redeem. What is it? Huh? Jannat is what? Food. We eat it the whole day. That's why we like plastic. Here in South Africa, you call anybody for jihad, why you don't want to go for jihad? Because what you say, we eat those food. We are all bionic, everybody is bionic in nature here in South Africa. That is why all of these other medicine work, alternative medicine don't work in our country. Because we're not original anymore in our country. We're all plastic. And also we eat curry khichdi all the time, that's why we sleep away. Can't go for anything. No jamaat, no jihad, nothing happens. Everybody sleeping. Permissible to eat those foods. Ji, how about the stocking? As far as these halal, haram issues are concerned, on my website, I advise you, go and see my website, alislam.co.za. So on my website, inshallah, you'll find 442 books of ours, all free. And if you want to steal them and publish them too, no copyright, steal and publish too, no problem. There is 1,000 audios of mine there. Also you have to download it still too, no problem. There is online Q&A there. I answer about 500 questions per month. So you can ask questions. Don't have to wait for me. You can ask online, we'll answer, no one will know your name too. Because it's all anonymous. There when we got letters written to all the organization, halal authorizing organizations. Our simple question is, when the slaughterers themselves are saying we're not reading Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, or these rainbow chickens, how is it going to be halal? When they themselves are saying we're not reading. Secondly, you try tonight. You pick up, you stand up, take one knife in your hand, and in 1 minute, say 40 times Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And these people are supposed to be doing it on 2 hours at a time. You try it. If after 1 hour you don't become mad or you don't become a saint, something wrong. So if you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand who is going where. And then when there is 7 million red at the bottom of the table involved, then you know why it's not becoming haram openly. 7 million is a lot of money. If you look at all my letters, I'm not getting aggressive, I'm just stating points. But definitely what the brother is saying, it is becoming ugly. So the rule which the Shariat is saying, that halal is open, haram is open, what is in between that, abstain from that. So the golden rule of the heart is, when you in doubt about something, abstain. When you doubt about something, abstain from that. And when you abstain, then Allah Ta'ala would give a lot of barakat. One day I was answering one question on the air, then I was thinking a little bit, and while giving myself chance to think, So I said on air, checking my CD wrong. So the caller said, you got computer in front of you. So I said, no, I'm checking my brain. Our brain is better than the CD-ROM, by the way. So actually what I'm trying to think about, see, in Medina, next time when you go to Medina to Munawwara Masjid and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll come to realize they are not bringing there the janazas in the masjid. You do know that. So it's outside. And the imam is standing inside. Now in Haram, because of its size and etc., they have to bring the janazah inside. The whole idea is that the janazah must not be in the masjid. The janazah in Arabic we call lash, or in Urdu, la shay, nothing. That is why in Salat al-Janazah, to stand in the last saf is mustahab. Because to stand in the first saf in Salat al-Janazah, it is, according to Allama Shami, Ramatullah Ali, that it is as if to say you are standing near an idol. Like you would be worshipping an idol, because an idol is nothing. So that is why we want the body to be outside the masjid, because to bring the deceased in the masjid is makruh. So perhaps in the humbly mazhab, that you could, for Salat and Janazah, not for any other Salat, for Salat and Janazah, they are not worried about the whether you're in front of him or behind him. For in the humbly mazhab. Anything else?
Are engagement parties permissible?
Engagement parties? So you're partying here now. Birthday party is haram, right? You all know that. Engagement parties, why you must have party? The whole idea is to get married quickly, not have this. As soon as you have gap, after you agree, boys party agreed, girls party agreed, now you must make very quickly. Because if you don't make quick, then shaitan comes in between and creates havoc. And those who are involved with social activity will know that a lot of times so-called marriages don't even take place, they break. Because you left too big a gap. So you should hurry up with the nikah. And there is no such thing as engagement parties. There's a boys' party and the girls' party, they come together, they have one small meal where they set the date, etc. That's alright. Because they come to know each other. But to call half the town and then break the thing, that is foolishness, wastage of money.
The progeny of Bani Israel started with Ishaq alayhi salam and ended with which Nabi?
Isa alayhi salam.
Is it permissible to use the ecosystem in the masjid?
Lot of places now we have to go and tell the imams, etc., the trustees, don't put that echo system. Because this is no entertainment. Salat is not an entertainment. Because there are ulama who say that the mic system is not supposed to be used for Salah. And now to put echo system in your mic system for Salah, definitely that is makruh.
Question is, my children love watching the dolphin show at Ushaka Marine World. However, it's accompanied with music. Please advise them.
Don't go there. Don't go and watch that thing.
One more. Should son stay with parents after marriage with three other brothers in the house?
You're looking for trouble. As soon as they get married, you must build a small house for them, tell them go away now. Son, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law must not stay as a rule. Don't try and put them under one roof. Yeah, for tarbiyat, for upbringing, so they can make the roti the right thickness, it's okay. You understand? Once they know how thick the roti is supposed to be, they must go. But stay separate. Because you can't put two bulls in one kraal. You can't put two muftis in one place also. You understand? Just start fighting. So it's better to separate them, give them a small nice house, and leave them, let them carry on with life. Because we got tendency of temperature. We eating this this food, you see, this food makes us like this. We cannot understand. We got no quality of sabr, patience, and we got no quality of accommodating anybody. You have one mufti, he don't want to see another mufti. You understand? He as far as he's concerned, he is only right. We don't want to say another person is also a good person. So similarly, in domestic and in family life, we got difficulties. Better to be separate. What do you say? No. Some senses is not allowed. In the time of necessity and need, it is permissible. If the person is a poor person and there is no cheap alternative available for that person, and the doctor says that this medication will help you, and this person cannot afford the alternative expensive medicine without the formulation of alcohol, it will be permissible for him to utilize that medication because it is out of dire necessity. However, if he can afford the expensive medication which does not have the alcohol for the formulation, then he must not use that or alcohol formation medicine. He must buy the expensive medication. Now you all have to pay overtime for me too, isn't it? And if you all don't pay, you all are sinners. No, it's a sin. The rate, if he's an artisan, if he's a trained person, or if he's a worker and the government has stipulated that he must be paid so much, time plus two, or time plus three for overtime, and then if it's a different overtime, for Sunday overtime is the more, whatever it is, he must be paid that specific stipulated amount. And if he's not paid that specific stipulated amount, then you are oppressing. That person is oppressing. To what? Hila. Which hila? What do you want to do? That hila is completely wrong. Hila? No. That hila is like halala. That hila you should not be making. So,
please advise on the effect public pools and other mixed gatherings have on our iman.
What happened there?
Please advise on the effect public pools and other mixed gatherings have on our iman.
Oh, public pools. They got public pools here. Yeah? Public pools are dirty pools. What are you doing there? Muslims don't go to public pools. Public pools, they're walking naked there. How you can go there? Just like say the gymnasiums and all these things. Muslims must not go to places where your iman is at stake and where there is immodesty and where there is all nonsense going on. Like this gymnasiums and also men and women exercising naked, and now these fools all jumping in naked and they urinating there and everything is happening there. So Muslims must never ever go to those places. Muslim must not be found dead or alive there. So definitely, it's not compulsory to go and search. You stay at home. Ji. Every? Yeah. We say that applies to, for example, when you're eating food, when you're eating the food which is already halal. Right? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, that if Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi is utilizing that if a person forgets, to say Bismillah Allahu Akbar, then that hadith applies. But here, when that slaughterer is willfully, purposefully, voluntarily, consciously leaving out the Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and you are Hanafi, whole day and night from sunrise to sunset, you are Hanafi. When it comes to eating of the haram chicken, you want to follow Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, so that we can eat the haram chicken. Can't be like that. Deen is not so easy. It's easy, but not that easy.
The question is, Can his classes be conducted in the masjid?
Can his classes be conducted in the masjid? Yeah, what's wrong with that law? Sorry, carry on. What's the question supposed to be? Question supposed to be that can you pay the ustad for teaching hifz in the masjid? That's the question. Not the majority are ruling that the hifz ustad or any ustad teaching in the masjid cannot take a salary. But now there is a review on that law. They say due to circumstances, etc., that you can pay the ustad teaching in the boundaries of the masjid. Like for example, I remember once I was teaching somewhere and I had sat in etikaf. And I was going to teach in etikaf and I taught in etikaf. Because that's why I had to teach some Bali girls and they were in hijab. So I was in the masjid, they should sit outside the masjid and I should teach them. And for that, I could not take salary. I am of that opinion. So I ruled on myself that I could not take the salary. For the 10 days, I did not take the salary. Now, there are certain Muslims saying here it is permissible to take salary. The Hazrat Luqman, radiallahu ta'ala, he stated that, hiding for the children is like water for the fields. Hiding for the children is like water for the fields. But these days, the laws are becoming like England here now, sooner or later. It's enforced. Because if you use force, then they fold and they get you arrested. So when the government, they're forcing you not to go according to what we are saying or what the Sharia is saying, that admonition will help the child, then start getting other methods of punishment. For example, detention, extra homework, and so you should, those who are educators, should sit down carefully and look at the laws of the government and try to work out some stronger methods. But obviously they do not want to use force. Often I cannot suggest anything besides extra homework, detention. However, you cannot put a monetary penalty. That I know certain. You cannot put a monetary penalty. Although permissible, not advisable. Because inevitably, that out of experience, we are saying that the children get lost. See, who will make parada from who? First of all, that marriage is permissible. That marriage is permissible, right? But that marriage is, that boy, so but you see, where his father, he married that lady. Now, because he went, he had relationship with that lady, then that boy is no more now under strict parda, because he cannot marry where his father went. And now because that girl, his son is going to marry that girl, and his son is going to go there. Because his son went there, the boy's father cannot marry his daughter-in-law. Obviously. So the pardas, all the lex there. That boy, remember, will have to make hijab for the girl. Because he can marry her. Yeah? That's what I said. He can marry her. So when he can marry her, there is hijab there.
She's
Life? Oh, okay. What do you call it? Euthanasia. There's a record. Euthanasia. Yeah, euthanasia. See, there is two types of euthanasia, passive and active. One is to inject a person and kill him. That's haram in Islam. So that life support machine, when a person is on life support machine, and the reliable Muslim doctors say, there is no faida here. There is no faida here, you can pull the plug. Then there is no sin in pulling the plug. People are under the impression that we killing the patient off. That is not the right Muslim. It does not even come under any form of euthanasia there. Because the reliable Muslim doctors have said, there is no faida in keeping this person alive. So you can take out that plug without any fear of sin.
Should we have doubt about halal status of food in Makkah and Medina?
Permissible to eat, better to abstain. There's not nikah there. There's no nikah there. Video camp and all these funny things they do nowadays. They're not valid.
The question is, why is tahajjud read in Jamaat in the Haram Sharif?
In Ramadan. They classify it as Salatul Layl. So, they say, do they call it out Salatul Layl, isn't it? They call it Salatul Layl. So they call it Salatul Layl, not Tahajjud. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, that any Nafil Salat read in Jamaat is Makruh Tahrimi. Hanafis, we say any Nafil Salat read in Jamaat is Makruh Tahrimi. Why they do it there, only according to their mazhab. Ji? It's not necessary to follow. We are Indian. Basically, we are Indian. We like everything that is okay. Make tawaf. No other place in the world you make tawaf of. Come. Madina, you read Durood Sharif. Then you go help your wife. You should not this portion, unless you mazur, incapacitated. Because before you scold any person, ask the person whether he's incapacitated. Maybe he's got a valid reason putting it. You know, he's got some injury or something. But it has to be above. We're talking about the sacred molanas. Molanas, I have to defend them, you see. Maybe fat fetches. Mazur must be molanas. One person, he went for Hajj, right? So, he took the woman folk. Now our woman folk don't come to Salat, Jamaat. So after in Medina, after one whole day, he can hear now his wife and daughters are talking, you know. They say that, and he's overhearing this, say that Imam Sahib, Fajr time, he's very happy with his wife, so he reads loudly. Zohar time, I don't think so he got lunch, he don't read this thing. Asar time, I think they gave him no tea, so he don't read this thing. Maghrib time, he gave him food, I think he's reading again. Isha time, they gave him tea again, he's reading again. Yeah, wonderful.
Can you use live bait for fishing?
Fatawa Mahmoodiya says it's permissible to do so.
An animal has said it's jais for a woman to dye her hair black after she has dyed it another color, not for beauty but to have her original color black. Is this true?
Permissible.
My sister heard on Radio Ansar, Mufti says tripe is not permissible. Please clarify.
Tripe? They never explained to me what was tripe that day. Now they are telling me what is tripe.
In Islamic schools, male teachers walk around the classroom teaching girls who wear hijab. Shouldn't they teach from an enclosed area?
When they teach, the girls are still in hijab. So if the girls are still in hijab, they can teach. Because they are behind the veil. But if they're not in hijab, then the ustad should be behind the curtain.
Are the two sunnah after Juma mu'akkada or ghair mu'akkada?
Our research is showing ghair mu'akkada. But if you make intention of mu'akkada, no problem. Yeah? After Juma. 4-2, you know? The four, the two.
The practice of placing masala on the janazah, the deceased body, after ghusl, is it permissible or not?
Lucky they put the only masala, I thought they put the whole spice shop. All these are not permissible, this is this. No, these are all Indian style things that we do. No such things. Let the person, he was, even if he was not living simple, let him go simply.
A company requires employees to work on Sundays but will not pay overtime. Instead, they have to take a day off, another day. Is this permissible?
What's permissible?
The question is, a company...
Yeah, what's permissible? Whatever. Not permissible to work there. Why must you go to work? They're not paying you.
No, the thing is, work on a Sunday but they give them off on a weekday.
Oh, now that's left to the person. That's left to the person whether he agrees with the clause. If he agrees with the clause and the contract, then it will be permissible for that person to work. Yeah. What you say is 100% true, right to the... If I say that, they'll fire me from that station too.
The final question from SMS.
Yeah.
Last question from SMS is, is it permissible to have TV screens for salat times, etc. in the masjid?
They're talking about your screens, yeah. Talking about your screens, they want to know whether it's permissible. Huh? That's absolutely permissible there. Although it's looking like television screens, it's permissible there. Okay, I can. One more question then I can say. Yeah, Ji. So I let me think of it. Ji. Although you're very far away, I hope I can hear you. Yeah. Out. If you individual out, the hadith is that a small goat could pass through. In the masjid area. In India, it's done. It's permissible. Anything else? I can say a few words and conclude and make dua. Wearing short sleeves and praying in Amal. In Ahsan al-Fatawa. Ahsan al-Fatawa is by Mufti Abdul Rashid Ludhiani Ramatullah Ali of Karachi. Very big Mufti there. He writes that in those areas where everybody performs salat with short sleeves, in those areas it's not makruh. But in those areas where everybody is using long sleeves, in those areas to have short sleeves is makruh. So I say a few words and then inshallah we may go on. On the light side, but it's got some serious ending. That I was traveling in a car and my friend in another car. So he tells me, Mufti Sahib, you saw the poster. Because he was in front. He said, did you read that poster? I said, no. He said, see the, what you call, they come to fish in our country. So, I said, what do you mean they come to fish in our country? He said, you ever see that poster there? 40,000 hookers are coming in our country. So I said, they're coming to fish. So I said, hey, but a lot of them are coming. So he said, well, I don't know, they're coming to fish. The people who got these fish shops, these cattle shops, they have big business there. So she tells me, you don't know what's that. I said, I don't know what's this. What is hookers and all, I don't know. So, he said, but you saw the poster. I said, yeah, I saw it, I passed it there. I said, yeah, I saw this poster. So when we went back to his office, so then he gave me a detailed explanation of what this means. I said, oh, this is an official figure, I think. Unofficial, what's going to be happening in a couple of weeks' time in our country. So first of all, what we should be doing, that we should not never be going near those places. And our friends and family, we should be telling them to please don't go there. And also we should be worried that azab of Allah Ta'ala must come on us. This is something that's happening in our country. And remember the faisala of Allah, the decision of Allah, is not on the amal of the kafir. The faisala of Allah, the decision of Allah, is because of our amal. So we should vigorously say words against this, and we should be nowhere going there. Now what is another thing which I forgot to say on Jumatai, that they say, you see, we are linked to some very big firm, and these firms give you complimentary ticket. They say, take complimentary ticket and sit in the box. Now they describe to me all these things, what's going on, box and everything. Whether the complimentary ticket, whether you're sitting in the box, you would be helping this evil. And seriously, we should be making dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala's azab don't come in our country. Because can you imagine that now I've been informed, and there are a lot of elderly people, I feel shy to say what's going to happen here, as far as immorality and sin. And they're going to have all this nonsense coming in our country. So we should make a lot of dua that Allah Ta'ala save us and don't punish us because of what is happening. Once again, I appreciate every time I come here, Alhamdulillah, you come to listen to us. But this question and answer session, I keep it light because generally people think that the Mufti is not accessible. They think Muftis are on some different pedestal. I am more human than you. That's why we want to interact with you so that you can ask, and we can all learn. I can learn, you can learn. And Allah Ta'ala reward you all once again for all the time coming and listening to us. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Allahumma ighfir li wa li walidayya wa li ustaziya والجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات إنك سميع الدعاء. يا الله forgive our sins. يا الله forgive our major and minor sins. يا الله forgive all our sins. يا الله forgive our sins that we commit shamelessly in the brightness of the day. يا الله forgive our sins that we commit in the darkness of the night. يا الله we are disobedient and transgressing, we admit this. يا الله you are غفور رحيم, forgive us. Ya Allah, we are sinners, but we are ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, have mercy on us and forgive us. Ya Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain. Ya Allah, free Masjid al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, all those who are listening, every one of us has got requisitions in our hearts. You are the knower of the requisitions. Ya Allah, you are the fulfiller of the requisitions. Ya Allah, you are the only fulfiller of requisitions. Ya Allah, help us fulfill our requisitions. Ya Allah, save us from your azab. Ya Allah, save us from all the evil that's going to take place and is taking place. Ya Allah, protect us from drugs. Ya Allah, AIDS. Ya Allah, protect us from all the sicknesses and ailments. Ya Allah, all those that are sick, grant them shifa, kamila, anjila, mustamira. Ya Allah, all those who are going to go for operations, make it easy for them. Ya Allah, all those who are becoming hafizes, Ya Allah, make it easy for them. Ya Allah, all those who are becoming ulama, Ya Allah, make them practical, knowledgeable, pious ulama. Ya Allah, accept us for your deen. Ya Allah, accept us for your service as a deen. Ya Allah, remove the differences amongst us. Ya Allah, grant us ability to be steadfast in salat. Ya Allah, grant us ability to be like Muslims, dress like Muslims, feel and think like Muslims. Ya Allah, grant our women folk the ability to adorn the hijab. Ya Allah, grant us also ability to dress like Muslims. Ya Allah, grant us ability to respect our elders, to be affectionate to our children. Ya Allah, grant us respect, mutual respect amongst ourselves. Ya Allah, save us from haram, save us from interest, save us from HP. Ya Allah, save us from all haram thinking and activities. Ya Allah, you are Ghafoor Rahim. Ya Allah, help us and aid us and support us. Grant us ability to pass away with Iman. Ya Allah, grant us ability to be with Iman, stay with Iman, live with Iman, die with Iman. Ya Allah, grant us ability to have good life in the Akhirat, peaceful life in the grave. Ya Allah, grant us Name Amal in our right hand side. Ya Allah, you be happy with us. Whatever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for, we also ask for. Ya Allah, whatever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked to abstain from, we also ask to abstain from. Ya Allah, help us and forgive us. Ya Allah, all those who passed away, forgive them, raise their status. Ya Allah, use us for your deen. Ya Allah, grant us ability to go for Umrah and Hajj easily. Grant us ability to value those places when we go there. Ya Allah, wherever there is deeni activity taking place, in whatever, whichever form it is, be it the Darlooms or the Khankas or Tabligh Jamaat, or those who are writing and speaking and striving in your path, Ya Allah, those who are Mujahid, Ya Allah, grant us success. Grant us aid from your unseen aid. Ya Allah, grant us from your treasures. Ya Allah, forgive us and help us. Ya Allah, accept our dua through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabaraka ya zal jalal wal ikram. سمعنا واتوانا وفرارك ربنا وإليك المسير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.